bij de podcast van C3 Den Haag. Een kerk die mensen wil bereiken, bouwen en bekrachtigen met een boodschap van geloof, hoop en liefde. We hopen dat deze podcast je verfrist en inspireert.
Okay guys, privilege for me to be here this morning. Already here for some time now, but not together with you. And talking to you about sharing Jesus, which is one of my favorite topics, which is also maybe one of the most difficult things to talk about. Because when I ask you, how many of you have ever felt guilty for not sharing Jesus? I think we all feel that. We all feel guilty. And there's a reason why that happens. And that is, in my opinion, that in some ways, we as evangelists, and then I just point the finger towards myself, have misinterpreted the way we should mobilize people to evangelize. And when I say that, I mean power evangelism. Go out on the streets, preach in someone's face, sharing Jesus, whether they like it or not, you know, because, you know, the gospel is the Great Commission. We should all go. And there's a big movement in church where that is still the case, still happening. But every time I'm there, I kind of feel discomfortable because I see people leave the building with guilt. Yeah. And I should do more. And I should have done this and I should have done that. Honestly, the more I walk with Jesus, the more I see how very easy things are going. And the more he wants you to be you in that very unique way, and the better you become you, the more people are going to see Jesus in you, because that is the secret of sharing Jesus. So sharing Jesus is not about doing something. It's about becoming who you actually are. And when you become that person, you become strong. So I'm going to be honest about myself, my own developments. Because I'm an evangelist, I hang out with other evangelists over the world. Sometimes we have had schools of evangelism, 300-400 people come together, and we're all fired up by the best evangelists of the world. And I remember being part of a conference like that one morning. I was sitting in Germany in a big hotel having my breakfast when one of the guys that is actually very strong and powerful, one-on-one evangelist, came to me when he saw me sitting in that corner. And he said, "What are you doing here all by yourself?" I said, "Well, I'm just having my breakfast, starting the day, you know, thinking things through." He said, "You should be out there at the buffet sharing Jesus." And he got up, he left. And I felt so terribly guilty. You know why? Because I wasn't like him. But then God began to show me, I created you to be different. There's something unique in you that is so special that he can't do the way you do it. And to understand a bit more about who I am, I'm kind of an introvert. You wouldn't tell, maybe. Maybe you would. And I truly believe that the call of God upon my life is for mass evangelism. I'm at my best. The more people are out there, the better I become. And it has to do with gifting. And the mistake we make is that we measure these things by their size. Yeah. And then we judge them. Sure. And we say, well, if it's big, it's good. If it's not so big, it's less. Or maybe you think you're more important than me. You know how many local missionaries have come up to me to apologize when I would visit their city or their village to come with a gospel crusade? We would come, 25,000 people would show up. The day I would leave, sometimes 9,000 new people would be in church. And then you imagine a local missionary being there praying and believing God for one or two converts in the last 5 years. And what they do is they come to me and then they measure their effort by my effort. And then what I always say is this: are you obedient to what God told you to do? And then they said, "Yes, you know, I believe I am." And then I always say, "I believe I do so too. In my own way, in my own original place of calling. And that has to do with identity. If you truly know yourself, you'll never measure yourself by anyone else. And if you do that, you'll see that God needs your unique you at the very place where you'll be. Most people you'll talk to, I'll never reach. Most people you meet, I'll never see. They'll never hear me preach. So, you know, I truly believe that I have come to the point where I don't apologize for my ministry anymore because it's something God gave me, you know, and I'm proud to serve the Lord with that. But I've also come to the point where I stop trying to be someone that I'm not. And when it comes to one-on-one evangelism, I'm not the type of guy that walks around with tracts and prays for anyone around the street. There's two evangelists in Holland that are quite famous in some groups, we have Herman Boone. He's kind of he makes jokes all the time, and through jokes he brings people to Jesus. And then we have another guy that is Jan Zelstra. He prays for the sick, and through praying for the sick he brings people to Jesus. Both two amazing men of God, and they have their own fruit in their own area. I had a meeting with them, the three of us, which was very funny because the oldest guy is pretty old. He's up to his 80s now, still a good friend. And Herman, he's kind of the joker, you know. So he comes in and he wears this strange hat. He takes it off his hat, puts it on his own hat, and he starts joking, you know. And he can really appreciate it. And so, you know, the atmosphere is set. We're about to buy something. And when they come to the cashier, Herman Boone takes out his own track, his evangelism track, puts it on the table, and he says, "Hi, I am Herman Boone, and I want you to read this, and I believe God has a plan for your life," blah, 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 in his own very own way. Finished. Next guy comes, Jan Zelsa. He places his Bible on the counter. And he says, "How much for that?" And the girl looks at him and says, "What's wrong with you?" You know, he's just, he said, no. I said, "Well, what about the Word of God?" And his way of evangelism was completely different. Well, you could tell I had lots of fun that day. And in both ways, it wasn't me. I have another way of talking to people. I am very sensitive to what I feel that God is doing. So I don't start preaching in the faces of people, but I am always open to share Jesus when the opportunity comes. And then this is what's so important. When your heart is full of God, it's not a great effort to share about his love. Then it's just part of your life. If you would sit with me for over an hour, we would end up with Jesus. Always. Because he is so much in my life that it will come up one way or the other. And I would encourage you not just to find methods how to do it, but I would encourage you to take time with Jesus so much that eventually you'll just talk very easily about him. So I'll give you an example. I like to go fishing for carp. And that's one of the ways I just relax. I do it in open waters. But there are also paid waters. Like in France, you pay a fee and then you can catch bigger fish, which is more easy. And sometimes if I want to do the easy way, I'll go to one of those lakes. And I remember that arriving at the lake, there was this English guy from England. They all have this dream. They want to own a French lake and, you know, everything. And so he moved with his family, who was all out there. And he was a very extrovert guy. So the very moment I came into his place, he was in my face, loud, you know, screaming, yelling about carp, about the business, about so many theologies in his head around carp, you know, of course. And I was just listening. And then he went on that things were very ridiculous, that there were people in this world that were as stupid to believe in God. And that was all nonsense, you know, and he believed in this and he believed in that. And you know what I did? I didn't say a word. I knew my time would come. So I was just, you know, letting him go, you know, talking, listening. I said, "Yeah," laughing. So, okay, well, nice. Next day, comes up to my place, starts to chat. And then he asks me, he said, "David, what do you do?" I said, well, you'll never guess. He said, what? I said, well, you'll never guess. I just try. So eventually I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. He said, no way. I said, yeah. And then he said, oh, then I offended you yesterday. I'm so sorry. I said, no, you didn't offend me. I said, you said the way you look at things, which is your truth, right? Yeah, he said. And then we started talking about Jesus in such a fun way. And you know what happened? I ended up renting his entire lake to come fishing with all Christian friends. Now, this guy's an atheist, and he says he doesn't believe in God. But big, strong atheist men always have sensitive wives. They're usually the opening to the gospel to the family. So what happened is I came with lots of Christian friends, and all of a sudden there were like 12, 13 evangelists on his property, sharing the love of Christ, you know, because I all brought them in. So I wasn't preaching against him. I was just sharing my life, showing how I was. Now, this is what happened. I shared this in another church in Rotterdam, that I was about to rent this lake. I was inviting people just to come with me. Within 48 hours, it was sold out. People really liked that in some kind of way. And while I was sharing, in the audience of that church, there was a wife, and her husband was a famous writer in the fishing industry, writing in magazines that really are at the Bruna and stuff, you know, all around the nation. And he was searching in his life for God. He had just lost his father. She already found Jesus. And then she said, there was this guy in church this morning. I think you'll like him because he likes fishing. You know, maybe you should go on his trip. So he phoned me, and we had a good chat. And he came down, and he wrote an article in a secular magazine all about carp fishing, about me, and about my message. The last night, before he went home, he had this interview with me. I said to him, I said, why don't you stay for another night? And then he said to me, no, I have to go home to my wife. I can't stay. I said, okay, well, you're fine. We did the interview. And he really made one of the biggest compliments towards me I've ever had. He said, to me, you are the Lionel Messi in the faith. I said, the way you bring Jesus, it's understandable for every one of us. And I know it is because I don't talk down on people, but I share Christ from my heart and just in the way I am. And afterwards, he confessed. He said, you know, I did not dare to stay that night with you. I said, why not? He said, because I was afraid I was about to be converted. And you know, he is still in my phone today. We regularly text. And sometimes, you know, I send him something. When I was in Pakistan, I send him some photos. And what's happened is through this opening, the entire carp world industry is opening up to me as a platform to preach the gospel in, which is amazing. There are thousands of guys there that don't know about God, and all they see in me is a normal guy that absolutely loves carp fishing, but also has a bit of a twist. He likes Jesus too. What's going on with this guy? And the fun thing is, whoever I meet, I'll just share my story. And I'll be sensitive to do it the way that I believe that Jesus has graced me to be able to do that. And I hope that today I'll be able to get you thinking about what's your way. Who are you? What are you good at? What do you like? And in what you like, in what you're good at, God has a place for you. And the thing is, sometimes people are trying to do ministry in an unnatural way. And what I mean when I say that is, when they begin to pray, they all of a sudden use another voice. Yeah. Have you ever seen that? Yes. You know, maybe not in this church, of course, but you know, some places, they change their voice. They change their volume. They all get very spiritual. It's like they step into a role. And that's what evangelism is, the very same thing for people. When they try to, they think they have to behave different. They think they have to be different. But I want to challenge you. God don't want you to be different. He wants you to be you. He wants you to be yourself. He wants you to be powerful, full of truth, full of the Spirit of God, very effective, full of love. But don't be a stranger. Don't be weird. People will notice. They'll feel if you are real or not. So when I am with someone that doesn't know Jesus, for instance, my neighbor, I have the most fantastic, enthusiast, extrovert neighbor in the whole street. He's amazing. Yeah, and he's a lot of, but I really like him. I mean, I really like him. But you know, it's funny because he lives together with a wife, girl, that is the daughter of a pastor of a traditional church. And she is hurt by the way she was raised and the way she doesn't understand God and Christianity. Then what happens? An evangelist shows up next door. Yeah. What is it you do? You know, I just begin to share. The way I got my house, you know, it's all a miracle story. The neighbor across, he's a Christian. He knows me from everything. And he already preached my story to them before I lived there. So they had this weird image of who I was. Because, you know, so much about me and around me. He must be like this and that. But let me tell you something. I'm never like this and that. I am who I am, the way God made me. So the very moment he met me, he saw I was a bit different than most people he had assumed to be the way he thought they would be. And I remember so many times, we make jokes. He's for Ajax. I'm for Feyenoord, you know. So we joke with that. I'm sorry for the guys who like Ajax. FC Den Haag, maybe? Not so good. Okay. and it's all because my dad is for Feyenoord. My son is for Feyenoord. So, you know, I got converted in the Kuip. But we joke like that on that level. And then this is what happened. There were some constructions had to be done in a backyard. And we decided to do it together. Then we needed to break down a fence. And we did it together. And to get the wood onto the other side of the street, we had to go through his house. In fact, through his, I think it's his barn. Is that the right thing? And one of these beams had a big iron end that made it very difficult to carry through his barn. So when I carried it, I accidentally smashed his door. So I chopped off an entire piece of wood, you know. So I was embarrassed. I said, hey, I'm sorry. You know what he said to me? He said, hey, there's no problem for you. I said, why not? He said, you believe in God. He can fix anything, right? But you know what? I love it, the way we joke together. And then in the wood that we break off, that we were working with, all of a sudden, a cross appears. Two beams attached to each other. He said, David, look at this. This is the cross. I said, there you go. I said, it starts with the cross and it finishes with the cross, you know. And then we just carry on. And he sees in me that I actually enjoy my life. And that God is really good for me. And he's attracted to that. And for some reason, this relationship is building. Now, I'm not preaching in his face, but my life is preaching towards him and his wife. And, you know, this is happening all the time. You know, when I preach, I do carry the anointing of the evangelist. So when I preach, my wife brings people to church because she believes they will get saved. So she was out in the schoolyard. And then there was this itchy feeling that just doesn't go away. I don't know if you recognize that sometimes. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. He'll come up to you. He doesn't push through. But it's nagging, you know. If you ignore, it will leave you. And, okay. But if you learn to obey that feeling, usually you'll see breakthrough. So she saw one of the ladies, one of the mothers in the school, and she said, why don't you come to church, you know. And she was having a hard time. You know what happened? She and her husband got saved, both crying. They're still in church today. They're baptized. And this is just happening in Zeewolde. You know, and then there's this other lady who walks around in the village. She's kind of the crazy lady in the village. Walking around with, she has a little dog. She has an empty house. She screams regularly in the house when she's alone. She's a really hurted and wounded lady. But we share the love of Christ with her. And also saw money, which really helps. Because nowadays, when she's in need, she walks across the village. She was our old neighbor in another neighborhood, but she walks across the village to come to her house. And you know what's funny? She came to our house when we weren't home. So my son was home. And he's like 11 or 12, but he knows her. He says, you know, my mom's not here. Can't help you. Don't have any money for you. But what can I do? She said, I'd like a cup of coffee. He served her a cup of coffee. And he saw her need. And he saw that in us. The way we treat her is the way he begins to treat her because the way we do it, you know. And then something else happened just the other day. We have furniture in our house and something was broken. And my wife looks up this. She comes in the shop. She tells in the village and she tells something is broken with our chair. And then the lady gives her an address of a person that can fix it. And she does it in her house. So she goes up to her and she has this conversation. Very easy about a chair. How to fix that chair and stuff like that. Great things happen, and then she begins to tell her life story. And she tells that she lost a son, drowned somewhere in a pond. And because of that, her marriage broke. And because of that, she has been in misery and misery. And then she says, but somebody recently invited me to a church. And I felt special there. And from all people in the village who shows up, it's my wife. And then she says, you know, what about that church? She begins to tell our story. She begins to tell my story. She begins to tell what we do in the world. And this lady, she instantly just begins to cry. And she says, this must be God. You come into my doorstep. And this is another opening for her to come back to church, to invite her to come and listen to me. I have people I meet in the village. They know me, they know my story, they know my ministry. And you know, what I truly believe, because I've been telling you stories after stories, it's not a lot of teaching. I'm trying to wrap up with some teaching, is that okay? It's, I just want to share my life with you. And I don't want you to feel like it's something that I can only do and you'll never be able to. This doesn't work with tracks. It doesn't work with putting the Bible in someone's face, it works with showing the real you. When I'm at the line, my oldest boy, he's playing soccer. He's pretty fanatic. He really likes to do it. I've been the coach of the team. I made time in my schedule, stopped a lot of preaching just to be there with him, which I absolutely loved. And then there's fathers and mothers I talk to alongside the field, and I remember this guy talking to me, has a great business, has everything you can imagine, and he discovers that I'm a preacher. You know what he says? Sometimes we advertise our meetings with billboards along the road, and in our area, they'll see my face as big as can be, and they come up to me and say, I've seen you in the highway. I said, really? Yeah. He said, what is it you do? I said, well, I preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, really? And you know what he told me? He said, when I found out that you were a preacher and I realized that you haven't preached to me yet, he said, I got more respect for you. Because you listened before you began to share. And these are just, you know, very everyday topics. And what I truly believe about sharing Jesus is that you realize that you and I, we are the body of Christ. We are his body in this world. And when you think about his strategy, it's amazing. Because one Jesus could only reach as many. Jesus said, I will leave this world, greater things you'll do. Yeah. What did he talk about? raising the dead, cleansing the leper. There's not many people that I know that are able to do that. You know? You know what I think is greater? Reaching 5 million people through Facebook. He couldn't do that in his time. He said, greater opportunities are coming. And we need to realize as a church what opportunities we have. And when we use these opportunities, we can begin to share the message of Jesus in a greater way. And there's more people that we are going to reach today. So Jesus said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And when I give you my Holy Spirit, you'll be able to be as me. Just a revelation for you. The only Jesus people are about to see in this world is most likely the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me. So my neighbor, he's going to meet Jesus in me. And not in a way that I have to change my voice for him to recognize that it's really Jesus. Because Jesus identifies with who I am and the way he created me. Well, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, you are the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own? You do not belong to you. You are of God. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God says, I have purchased you, which means you belong to me now. If that frightens you, then you still don't know your privilege as a child of God. But when you realize what a privilege it is to be purchased by God, you realize this body is just not my own. My life is not my own. My eyes are not just my eyes. They're the eyes of Jesus. When you think about that, there's 2 billion people in the world that claim to be Christian. Just imagine if they find their true identity in Christ, if they try not to be someone else, if they begin to share Jesus the way they are, the entire world will be saved in an instant. Do you understand that? That's God's strategy, not just a one-man show. But multiplying himself through us. That's what he wants. Now just imagine the church that would begin to discover this secret. Challenging their people. It's not about one or two. It's about every one of us not trying to be different, but trying to be exactly you at the very place you are. And trying to be open and free just to share Jesus wherever you are. I truly believe that this is the plan and the will of God. You know, I remember I was sharing Christ on the street once in Paris. We think Holland is hard ground, but Paris is worse. Nobody wanted to listen to me, you know. And I was frustrated. Sitting on the edge of my bed and going to a friend, I said, you know, why did God not just put a neon sign in the air? Which would be so much more easy, you know. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I said, if he would put it on every night, everyone would get saved. And this friend of mine turned to me. He said, are you an evangelist? I said, well, I think so. He said, you, I don't know the word in English. Bruts evangelist. You suck? Yeah, okay. Oh. You suck. Okay. Okay, you suck. I said, why? He said, don't you realize, you are the neon sign. And then I said, I guess you're right. But the thing I still had to discover in that period of time is that I wasn't going to be the neon sign by tracks or by doing it the way everyone was expected it of me, but that I would become the neon sign through who I truly am today. And it happens in my street. I can tell you so many stories of this lady. She got sick, totally sick, about to die. You know what happens? I bumped into her just a couple of days before she died. And I asked if I could pray for her. And she allowed me to. I just grabbed her hand, prayed for her, prayed for the love of Jesus to come on. And you know, just a couple of days later, she was gone. These opportunities are everywhere. And the people are waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed in this world. You know, I could go on and share many scriptures with you, proving to you that we are the body and that we all have a different function. And I think you're familiar with that. But don't try to be the hand if you're the toe. Please, embrace who you really are. And it's taken me quite some time to really accept God's call, to really accept the way I am. And whenever I'm challenged by another man of God or another ministry, I thank God for them, and then I thank God for what he gave me.
Yeah, amazing.
And this is so important, because we waste our energy when we try to be something that we're not.
So
be who you are. If you love elderly people, because you can work with them, go do that. Be the best in your job. My mom, she takes care voluntarily of elderly people. And what she does is she's just the hand of Jesus. She's just an arm. At times that people need an arm, she prays with them. And so I think there's opportunities everywhere we go. And there's momentums that God creates. And it's my prayer that you'll discover who you are in this process.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar deze podcast. Wil je er op zondagochtend ook een keer bij zijn? Je bent van harte welkom. Ga voor meer informatie naar c3denhaag.nl.